on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB, and online at pulse1.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse One. With Provident, lending a helping hand since 1880. Visit provident.co.uk.
Kia ora and g'day, rugby league fans. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show, talking nothing but Four Nations Rugby League for the next hour. Just myself, producer Ewan, Jakey, and Luke Robinson holding the fort tonight whilst Leon is basking in the sun in the south of France. Now, Robbo, wasn't Leon saying last week that he doesn't go on holiday?
He said he's got the most boring life in the world and he doesn't do anything.
He just stays at home.
And then literally, drop of an art, he's on holiday.
I think he left that very next day as well, straight out to the south of France. Okay, it's good to have family and friends out there. We're covering all things Four Nations and Rugby League this week and tonight over the next hour. So loads to cover, so let's get it on. It's a Robbie Hunter Pool Show.
The Robbie Hunter Pool Show. News and views.
All right, Robbo, I'm going to set you up. This is going to be a very easy plug for you because we're going to run a competition off the back of it. But how's the testimonial coming along and what's the next big activity that you got coming up?
Yeah, it's going really well, mate. You know, obviously, as you'll know, it's hard work, isn't it? You know, you're here, there, and everywhere. As soon as this finishes, I'm shooting over to a pub in Huddersfield, speak to them about my hoodies and speak to them about another event later on. But yeah, it's going really good.
Talk to them about your what? Your hoodies?
I'm selling hoodies, aren't I?
Oh, okay, retail.
I'm just not allowed to say
it. I thought you like hoodies as like a like gangster. you well, had a little hip-hop on us.
To be fair, it is in the middle of Far Town, to be fair.
All right, so, okay, yeah, you feel right at home.
But my next one's probably the one that I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to all of them, really, my events, but this one's up, definitely up my street. It's a beer keller. Yeah. You know, whoever's been to a German beer market know how much fun they are. I've got my lederhosen ready. You know, that I might even go as a chick one. I don't know how it works yet. See what mood I'm in on the night.
You might end up looking like an Oompa Loompa. You had your permatan, yeah, and a lederhosen. Isn't that what the Oompa Loompas wear?
Pretty much, yeah. I've got an orange glow to myself. I know we have to Gran Canaria, but
permatan, mate.
But no, so we've got a beer killer coming. That's next Saturday. You know, trying to get as many of the Giants lads down there as I can. I'm trying to get a few of the Halifax boys, Rick Stone, the coaching staff. Do you know what's really strange now for me? I know that I'm on the other side of the fence as a coach, mm-hmm, but we like a beer as a coaching staff more than the players do, which is good.
You should be allowed more.
Yeah,
beer.
But it's not normally that way. It's normally coach trying to keep the lads in a ring. You know, me, Rick Stone, as you know, Chris Thorman doesn't mind a beer. So
would I know that?
Yeah, you know, Rob. Spooky's
from the northeast. Say no more.
So next Saturday's my beer keller, and we've got an amazing band, the Jaeger Maestros. They play at the Manchester Beer Keller. They're on stage. We've got a Bratwurst, big long sausage for everybody, and a free.
So is that all inclusive in the price?
Yeah, it's all inclusive in the price, and you also get to keep the stein as well, which.
You know, that's cool.
Which normally you have to give it back, but you get to keep your stein at mine as well.
So how many people can the facility hold?
Oh, it can hold quite a fair few. I think it can hold up to 200.
So you're going to have 200 people all spilling out onto the street at the end of the night armed with steins.
Yes.
And social lubricant.
But I have also said, look, if anybody wants to, my car will be in there. If anybody wants to leave them there with me, I'll bang them in there.
Okay.
And somebody will drive away just because any burglars listening.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are you trying to say here? Oh, that's brilliant. Well, I've been to quite a few beer kellers, and they're absolutely brilliant. Look, if you're a rugby league fan, you live in the area. Well, you must live in the area. That's why you listen to us. Actually, no, if you're online. But if you live in the area, this will be an absolutely tremendous night. Loads of Super League players and other rugby league personalities will be there. I might even come. I'm doing a dinner that evening with the Bulls Foundation, but I might pop across. What time's it finishing up?
Oh, man, we're going till late, about after. I think it's finished about 12:30.
Okay. So if I've got enough time, I like to come over and say hey.
Which we
will I have to pay as well?
Oh, we might be able to do your deal, Rob.
I only get there for the last hour.
Yeah, we might be able to throw your deal in. Yeah.
Okay, so what we're going to do tonight so you can be a part of it, ladies and gentlemen, is get the opportunity to win actually 6 tickets. Now, I asked Robbo just to give me a couple of tickets, and he's gone to me, well, when you go to a beer keller, you go as a group. Yeah. And I think it's absolutely fantastic. Round of applause, everyone, for Robbo donating 6. Oh, you even got the bell.
Wow.
Donating 6 tickets. So if you want to find out how you can get a hold of those tickets. And basically, you just got to leave your name and express some interest. Ewan's going to put up a page on the win tab at pulse1.co.uk. So just check that out. Go on to there. I think if you go on to Robbo's testimonial page and like and share any of the bear colours as well, here we'll add that name or that Twitter handle to the list, and we'll draw it out next Wednesday evening live on the show to see who's going to be the winner of Robbo's bear colour. Mate, this time of the year, though... So how long have you been doing your testimonial?
I started in April.
Started in April. So for your information out there, ladies and gentlemen, coming from me because I've had a testimonial before, the preparation for the testimonial starts way before it actually starts. So you're looking at least a good 6 months, and it snowballs towards the start of the event itself. He's not 6 months, even earlier.
Well, no, because obviously I didn't know I was going to retire.
Oh, that's
so
right.
For me, I kind of...
had to get up to speed.
I'll be honest, mate, I was behind the eight ball big time. I literally just like, right, you've got a year's testimonial, go. It starts pretty much next month, though. It was literally just... Rah! So I'm literally been, and I suppose that's why a little bit, what you generally have as well, you have committees, don't you, that come in and help you. I do have a committee, the ones that are on it are great, but because we set it up so quick, it's only really small. So what you find is my wife and me literally just doing everything. We're here, there, everywhere, driving around, dropping stuff off.
So this is the question I was leading to, and it's actually fitting that you just shared that. How exhausted are you?
Oh, mate, it is. Do you know, whenever I've spoke to anybody who's had a testimonial, look, they're amazing things. I'm very blessed to have had one. And great how everyone sort of took to them and helped me out and supported me. But everyone I've spoke to has had one says, it is a nice feeling when it finishes.
Yeah, it is.
It's just the stress of everything. And do you know what, another thing as well? You just feel like you're begging and borrowing off everybody. Do you know, Sam Burgess, I've been up phone to Sam for about 2 months, and he started ignoring me calls. Because I was like, can you do a do for me? Can you sign this for me? Can you get this ball for me? Can you do this for me? After a while, I think he's just literally...
You've become that guy, haven't you?
I am that guy.
You've become that guy. Oh, it's him again. Oh, it's his testimony. Oh, it's him again. You know, and as a personality, they do want to help you out at the beginning, but it's when you're turning to them over and over again. And the reality is our fish pond is so small.
Well, I was just about to say that to you. Obviously, coming from Huddersfield, you know, everyone, the Huddersfield fans get a bit of a bad rap. But the great, the ones that are there are fantastic. We just don't have enough of them. That's all it is. And it is, you just feel like you're asking the same people. My friends, actually, I'm on a WhatsApp chat with my friends, and it's now called... No more testimonial talk. They are that sick to death of it. But I'm like, look, I've got it for 1 year, lads. You know, I don't play rugby anymore. You know, I'm just trying to enjoy it. And it's probably been good for my mental state as much as it has anything else. Just
keeping you busy.
Keeping me busy, keeping me in the game. It probably allow me a little bit not to think about having to retire, should I say.
No, I think that's an important part of it, because as an athlete, and I tell you what, I had a great meeting and discussion with Clark Carlisle, who does a lot of this sort of stuff in player welfare, talking about their transition from being an athlete into being the footballer, Clark Carlisle. And this was only last week, and he brought up this very important point about this emptiness in your brain. You know, as an athlete, we keep them in a bubble, and because we want them to focus on one job and one job alone, and sharpen it for that extremely hardcore, very body taxing activity that they do at the end of the week, every Sunday or Friday night, whenever their team is scheduled to play. But when you go back into the real world, your mind's then starting, you're trying to fill your mind with a lot of information, and sometimes it can be overload. So, but also at the same time as that, if there's nothing there, that's when it becomes a real problem. I felt when I made the transition from being a player in 2011 into being a BDM at Huddersfield Giants, the fact that I went into full-time work and started, you know, really cracking on with it 9 to 5, it filled in that gap. So I wasn't able to just, I couldn't rest on my laurels. I had to crack on. And with you, with the testimonial and the coaching on top of that,
yeah, I do. I'm dead set with you. Basically, David Fayouma, my good mate, who retired, he said it only hit him probably about 9 months later when he was sat on the on his sofa watching the TV rugby game by himself. Nobody's talking about rugby. He's not WhatsApping his mates about rugby. He said he just sat by himself, and he said that's when there was a void really. And I think for me, you know, especially going into the coaching world, I mean, you, like my dad says, I've got a real job for the first time in my life now. Mm-hmm. You never really had a real job, although rugby league's all encompassing, as in it is on your mind 24/7, and it's you, that's all you think about, isn't it? Whether you're going holiday with your missus or not, it's all you think about as a player. But being a coach, it's just so time consuming, and the testimony and everything that goes with it, it's probably been a really good thing for me that I've been so busy.
Well, we're very grateful that we get the opportunity to have you in the studio nearly every Wednesday between your holidaying and your late coaching. And I mean, hopefully we'll be able to continue and you won't drop us as soon as the testimonial's over and you can't promote it. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to keep an eye on Twitter, Robbo's Twitter handle, just quickly say your Twitter handle, Robbo.
It is Luke Robinson. I think it's Luke. Yeah, Luke Robinson _9.
He can't remember it himself.
Luke Robinson
check
_9.
Check that out.
Nine.
You can see that it's positioned on that. And also Ewan's going to put all the information up on how you can be a player part in this and score 6 tickets for the Bear Colour and Luke Robinson's testimonial. Okay, we're going to go for a break now. When we come back, we'll be discussing the Four Nation games last week and as well as looking forward to the games coming up and hot topics in the sports. So stick with us here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the RHP Show. The spotlight is on the Four Nations internationals as well as Luke Robinson's testimonial, the most important part of this show as always.
That's right.
Now, I just got to point you towards if you want a chance to win 6 tickets. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tickets to Luke Robinson's testimonial, Bear Colour, which is going to be a week on Saturday night. You can go on pulse1.co.uk/RHP show and just leave your details in the details section, or you can, Robbo, you can follow your Twitter.
Yeah, if they like us and share my Twitter at Luke Robinson _9, then we'll put the name in as well.
Yep. So Robbo and his lovely wife will collate everybody's names. We'll chuck it all into a pot and we'll read the winner aloud this time next week. Ewan, I'm really Ewan's just gone. My headphones were playing games with me before, and it's really loud. Can you turn me down a little bit? I don't like the sound of my own voice that much.
Oh, same as the rest of us, eh?
No, I walked into that one. Yeah, I set you up for that one. Okay, just before we go any further, also, so next week is Anti-Bullying Week. And Pulse 1 and Pulse 2 setting up a campaign. So it's hashtag speak, share and stop. And both Robbo and I are big advocates of making sure that we kick bullying out of our culture. I think it's a terrible
thing. I think it's massive. I were part of something at Wigan. It was kind of my job as a young lad to go into junior schools, and actually it was called Warriors Against Bullying. It was a campaign throughout the Wigan district. And yeah, probably something that, yeah, probably touched me at a very young age. I'm only 17, and I think it was great going. And it, just seeing young, vulnerable kids that were being bullied, it's very eye-opening, really. And it was, I think it's a great campaign and something I'll definitely throw my weight behind to help you.
And it's surprising, once you look into bullying and the impact that it has on young people's lives and the impact it has for the rest of their lives, I think it really puts things into perspective. And the more we make it unacceptable in our culture, the better our culture and our society and our communities will be. So both Robbo and I and the team at the RHP Show, I'm sure I'm speaking on behalf of Leon also, we're all for hashtag speak, share and stop. Let's stop and let's kick bullying out of our culture. All right. Okay, let's have a chat. Actually, before we go any further, I slept out in the cold last weekend. No, not last weekend, last Thursday. Been doing it for the last 3 years, and I've got to admit, this was the worst time. It was cold, but the three guys that I had next to me, two of them were, let's say, socially lubricated, and they wanted to talk all night, and they talk really loudly. But the guy next to me, and I'm trying to track him down because he needs an operation on his nostrils, because I've never heard anyone rattle more in my life. The whole of the Providence Stadium was rattling. So I just got to say a big thank you to the organisers at Centrepoint. Centrepoint is a charity, national charity, that supports young people sleeping rough and falling upon hard times. Also, the Bulls Foundation for the fantastic work that they put everything into place The conferencing and banqueting department, or the stadium department at the Bradford Bulls, for putting everything into place also, and everybody that donated and everybody that attended. This has been the most successful, fantastic amount of money that was raised in that regard, and it's going to a very just cause.
And you don't realise how difficult it is sleeping outside. Oh. Well, they took us out to an army camp other year, did a field, and we had to sleep outside in the woods with no sleeping bag. Oh my God, it is unbelievable. You don't,
no memory foam mattress.
You just don't realise how uncomfortable it is, do you? I woke up and I had blisters on my face because I'd slept that close to the fire. I'd literally burnt my lips and burnt all my face. But yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah, another great charity, because yeah, until you go through that, you don't actually realise how difficult it is.
It's quite interesting. The cold comes through the ground. You know, you think, well, as long as you've got the layers on top of you, but if the ground's cold, it freezes you from the ground up. And it's quite interesting. I was talking to one of the young people about their experiences and when they did have to sleep rough. And they were saying to me, this young man, he said to me, well, actually, when I do not have anywhere to stay indoors, what I do is I go into the woods. So he goes into the woods to sleep. And I said, well, why the woods? That sounds damp and, you know, cold and wet. And he said, yeah, it is all of those things. But importantly, it's safer. It's because you're tucked away in the shadows. Nobody knows you're there. And that means that they'll leave you, you know, no one's going to stumble upon you and potentially cause you harm. And I just thought, you know, shocking.
Yeah, horrendous.
You know, it has an impact on you. So once again, congratulations to everyone at Centrepoint. Keep the fantastic work up. And if sleeping rough for one night is a way of adding to that, then I'll probably have to continue to do it over the next few years as well. Okay. So let's talk rugby league. So, Robbo, you were at the game, England versus Scotland. Let's talk about that game first. what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Scotland did their homework. They obviously found a chink. They found a chink in, you know, people just have, everybody that who's not been part of rugby league before, we don't just literally turn up on a game day and just throw the ball about and see where we're going to go. We split the field into certain percentages. Me and Robbie, being the brains of the operation, decide where the big fat lads run to get us to a certain point. And you're trying to create splits and you're trying to isolate players. And what Scotland did on numerous occasions, Ruffy, very clever player, did the same play over and over again to Luke Gayle, Callum Watkins and Jermaine McGilvray. And they isolated Gayle, they isolated Watkins, and it paid off over and over again.
It did, yeah.
He's got an amazing try, did Matty Russell. I mean, unbelievable try. Oh, you know,
Superman.
That is class, absolute class. You know, you can't even describe that try, but the actual play that led to that was something that they've obviously watched in video, they've obviously practiced in training, worked on, and it's something that England are going to have to eradicate quickly, because obviously the Australians will be watching that and they've got better personnel to perform that play.
Well, the Aussies, yeah, definitely. The Aussies would have done their homework on that, and they would have been looking very closely at where England would have had their issues, their deficiencies. I think one of the things that they used was, what we're talking about is that, is it Kane Lynette? North Queensland Cowboys centre, big centre. Just, I mean, he's the same sort of size and shape as Greg Inglis, who plays on that same side. And it's basically, they just threw him at the halves. They threw him at Luke Gayle all day long. Callum Watkins knew that, you know, he was going to have to support Luke Gayle sometimes, come in off his line and just sort of squeeze up on those numbers, because Lynette, he's about 6'4". He's, what, 20-odd stone, but he can run like the wind. And when someone comes on that good line, that's really where you got to do your homework. I was a bit disappointed with the enthusiasm from the England pack, because for obvious reasons, New Zealand and England squared up the week before. The event in which that England pack come out in that game against New Zealand and really took it to New Zealand in the opening 20 minutes, it was all about England's forward pack. They just didn't seem to have that sort of same enthusiasm or venom, as I'm liking to call it. Why do you think that is? Do you think it was just a matter of, we got this?
Yeah, of course it is. It's in professional sport, they're supposed to be professional players, and you think, but it's human nature that you know, it's Danny Addy this week. We played against him before. It's a couple of lads that play Championship rugby. They're not viewing them the same as they are Sean Johnson and players of that nature. But as professional athletes who are representing their country and putting that England badge on, you have got to turn up 100% every single time. And although I'm giving them an excuse, I don't think it is an excuse. You know, they shouldn't be able to use that. I think when you're a professional player and you are playing for your country, they should be able to play against Siddle or anyone like that, and that England pack and them England players, you know, 1-13 or 1-17, never mind just the pack, they should have gone out and absolutely hammered Salford from the get go. Instead, they give them a bit of leg up, and as you know, as soon as you give them an inch, all of a sudden the confidence starts to sort of go throughout the Scotland team, and they feel better about themselves. But yeah, really, really disappointed, and obviously it's hard going against, you know, an emotional high 1 week, but that's what national rugby's about. You've got to perform 100% every single week, and yeah, very disappointed in England.
All right, well, we're going to stay on this point, and we're going to stay talking about the England versus Scotland game, because obviously it then leads very nicely into the game this weekend at Olympic Park. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we'll be discussing more of the Four Nations Rugby League International Series. So stick with us here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Big names and big stories from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with the General Luke Robinson. Now we're discussing Four Nations International Rugby League. Big game this weekend coming up between England and Australia. Another big game also between Scotland and New Zealand on the Friday night up at Workington. But the one that everybody's looking forward to is the big game down at the Olympic Park this Sunday. Now, we've just been talking about England's performance against Scotland last Saturday afternoon. Look, I just want to say, because we were talking about they started slow, but whenever you've played against the Aussies, whenever I played against the Aussies for New Zealand, and whenever you played against the Aussies for England, it was the same Australian team, you know, no matter what year it was. But they always come out with an intensity and ferocity and a thing like they kind of owned the game. And you kind of knew that you had to step up to that level. Do you think then that for England to sort of go into their game a little more relaxed? And Australia didn't do that against Scotland last week. In the opening 15 minutes, they put 24 points on them. Do you think it's a culture thing that England needs to get out of them? I know New Zealand had that as a problem probably 8 or 9 years ago, but they were able to, you know, to shake the mantle of that and start being a lot more professional in the way they approach every single game. New Zealand actually have cultural advisors in the team now to work on the internal culture. I think it's something that the All Blacks have introduced, and I think it's resonated throughout New Zealand down under. I know Mal Meninga is implementing some of the All Blacks techniques, like he has players cleaning out the dressing room, because good people make good athletes. Humility is an important thing to being a good person. So do you think that there needs to be some time and work and investment done on the international culture of England's team?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I've not been involved for quite some time, but, you know, probably more than anything else for me, what it was is, it's that belief. I mean, obviously, it's very similar to what you're talking about, the culture of the side, but I just don't think we as individuals and as a team don't believe we can go out there and win. And I think that's slowly been broke down.
Can I just cut across here? But, you know, when we're talking about Scotland, I think that's not there. And what I'm asking you is about whether or not you think that professionalism, that strength of mind, that ruthlessness, that ability to put your foot on the throat and actually push down needs to be invested into England before they're going to be sustainably successful on the international stage.
Yeah, I think so. But you'd like to think now with the likes of James Graham and Burgess and Hodgson, all them playing in the elite level, you know, in the world. But not only that, they're not even playing at that. They're not holding their own. They are actually leadership personnel within their group. You know, Jammer leads Canterbury.
They are considered the best players, yeah, the strike weapons in the NRL, the best competition on the planet.
And not only the strike weapons, but actually the leadership. If you speak if you speak about their leadership group within each team, Hodgson is pretty much the man. James Graham's the man. Burgess is the man. So it's not like we don't have people that have been there and done it and can carry that culture into England. I think, you know, You know, it's probably not. You can't just do it overnight, though. It needs to be something. As you'll know, being at Bradford and I've been at Wigan, a culture, it takes time. You know, it takes people. You need to bring people in. You educate some people. You know, some people don't know how to. You know, they don't know what a winning culture is. You need to show them the way. So it's not going to happen overnight, but it's something. And especially in my time that I've been in England, I think it's something that can be, you know, definitely can be implemented.
Well, it was interesting to see what Wayne Bennett's thoughts were after the game. He wasn't too happy. They asked him the question. He said, there wasn't much, and this is a quote directly from the trade rags, there wasn't much to enjoy about it, about the players. Maybe they had been reading the papers, I don't know, and thought they just had to turn up to win. So if that's the coach that is saying that, maybe he had an inkling that it was a little bit more relaxed going into that game than what it was, that intensity that was there going into that game against New Zealand. He did finish on this, though. He said, it makes picking the team easier this week. That's a bit of a – they needed to look at their performances. That's a bit of a shout-out, isn't it? And we know about Wayne Bennett. He doesn't mess about. He's quite ruthless in the way that he approaches things. He's got – the only – you know, his objectives in this tournament – his objective as a coach is to win games. It's not to make the media happy. It's not to please people. His objective is very black and white for him. He wants to win games and make England great again.
Well, I agree. And, you know, let's be fair, if you were a layman watching that game, you could tell it were lackluster. You could tell it were rubbish. You know what I mean?
Scotland were good. We don't want to take anything.
No.
They stepped up.
Scotland played some decent rugby.
And that was the one thing I think we were always going to know of. The frightening thing for England was that actually if Scotland were going to have a dig in any game, it was going to be this game.
Yeah, of course. You know, the Dale Ferguson, Danny Addis, Danny Brooks, they're obviously going to want to step up against England. But for me, you know, yeah, it's hit the nail on the head, I think, Wayne Bennett. You know, they were rubbish. Do you know what I mean? We're rubbish, aren't we? You know, and you can't sort of brush it up any more than what he said. And I think I'm with him. Look, too many times people say, let's give the young lads, let's blood young lads. International rugby is about winning now. I don't care what goes on in 3 years, 4 years. When I went across with England in 2010, Steve McNamara continually spoke about the 2013 World Cup. And I sat there and thought, I might not be here. I might not be here in 6 months, never mind 12 months. I want to win now. And I just think sometimes in international rugby, that's what get lost. People assume that it's about building for something and building for tournament. It's not. If you want to win, and you want to win right now, that's the be-all and end-all.
Okay, but so on Wayne Bennett then, he's only been really in charge of the team for two, and then this would be his third week. When he was given the job, I think a couple of months ago, he came over to England for a week just to introduce himself to his backroom staff. Find out what everybody's name was. I went down on the sideline, actually. He was talking to Nigel Wood. So I went down on the sideline on Saturday, and I just caught his eye, and I went up to say, hello, Mr. Bennett. Mr. Bennett.
You know who you are.
He looked at me, and, you know, because he's got this sort of John Wayne type of thing, you know, no, Clint Eastwood type of look.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He sort of got that steely-eyed look. He looked at me, and he goes, oh, you're one of the poor boys. I just thought to myself, should I correct him and say I'm Hunter Paul? I said, no. I said, yeah, I'm one of the poor boys. Oh, I tell you what, my wife wouldn't be proud of me. Timing, he needs more time, doesn't he?
Of course.
To implement the Wayne Bennett style of doing things, he needs more time.
Look, as we spoke about earlier, you know, to actually put a culture within a side, it takes time. You can't just, it's not at the drop of an eye. You can't just say, look, this is our culture. Everyone goes, oh, thumbs up, right, we've got you. It has to be done. You can't just speak about it, you have to do it. But that's what he's trying to implement next year. What he's trying to get is, this is why there's a little bit of uproar regarding the fixtures next year, because he wants a camp at the beginning of the Super League.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen is, that's going to not derail, but probably make it a little bit more awkward for the coaching staff to get themselves ready for Super League, because he's going to then take them away. I think it's for a week now.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've agreed on a week. He wanted 2 weeks originally, but the clubs have agreed on a week, so he's going to take the players out for a week, so he's going to get them a little bit more. I think he's going to try and get them mid-season as well, so he's going to be sort of more keep-in-touch training camps, which is obviously more beneficial for England.
And again, it's culture building.
Yeah, it is, and I think it's good for England. It's good for Wayne that he can get in there and actually stamp his authority and his style of play on England.
Yeah, I think he needs more time. I got to admit, I get a bit sick of listening to all the critics.
You're going to say someone there, weren't you? You're going to say a name. I could mind read.
Yeah, well, it's a family show.
Do you want me to guess who it is?
It annoys me when, you know, this guy is the greatest coach the sport has ever seen. He's had a very narrow loss to what was at the time the number one team in the world with, other than missing Tuivasa-Sheck, probably the strongest squad that they could put together. And he's had on the back of a poor performance, which probably comes down to the players more than it does the coach, against Scotland, but against a very determined and fired up Scotland that does have some talent in their team. People are already calling for his head. It's like, you can't give the bloke a chance. Take it from two former professionals and how long it takes to actually get the wheels moving. If you want it to be successful and sustainable, it's not going to happen overnight. Go out there, read a book from good to great. And one of the things they talk about is the big wheel and how it turns. And you got to get it turning. It starts slowly turning. But as it gathers momentum, it starts to spin faster and faster. And then you've got an avalanche. And that's effectively what successful groups of players, teams, etc. do. The wheel starts slowly. You look at any successful group of athletes and you look at Leeds Rhinos, they started slowly and, you know, their players started to mature and then they created momentum. The same with St. Helens Bulls, every modern day Super League team, every team, full stop. It started slowly, then you added a couple more tools to the tool pack, and then it got the momentum started to pick up, and it went on and it went on, and then the success comes. So I think we just got to have a level of patience out there, wouldn't you agree, Robbo?
Yeah, I think so. Like I said before, it doesn't happen overnight. But another thing for me is the style in which we want to play. We're going to play a British style, or we're going to start, are we going to mimic the Australians and be and just try and copy their style?
Well, on that, I'm going to come back to that because I know you've got your thoughts on the British style. And you've been talking to some very influential and highly talented athletes about that. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back after this break, we'll be discussing with Robbo what he thinks the British style is, and also we'll be looking forward to that big game coming up this Sunday. All right, stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Bullying, the silent killer. Almost everyone has suffered a form of bullying in their lifetime. Most suffer in silence, and for some, it becomes too much to bear. Speak, Share, Stop will be a series of special short programmes on Pulse One, looking at how bullying is being tackled in schools, online and at home. We'll talk to those in West Yorkshire who tirelessly campaign for it to stop. We'll hear from victims who are being or have been bullied and those who've experienced the consequences. Speak, Share, Stop begins Monday on Pulse One.
Whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
All right, welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, and we're continuing on. We're discussing all things Four Nations. Just a reminder also, if you want to get your hands on six, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Bear Keller, Luke Robinson, testimonial Bear Keller tickets for a week on Saturday. Loads of rugby league players going to be in attendance, including the man himself, Luke Robinson. Just go on pulse1.co.uk/RHP show and leave your details, or you can go on Luke_Robinson_9 at Luke_Robinson_9 on Twitter and just post and share Luke's post about the testimonial Bear Keller itself, and he'll take your details down and we'll put it into a list and we'll read out the winner this time next week on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. Okay, so final segment. Robbo, we're talking about this Four Nations big game on Sunday, England versus Australia. For England to stay in this competition and get the chance to go and perform in the Four Nations final at Anfield next week, they need to beat Australia convincingly. What are your thoughts on this game, and what do England need to do to win. Now you do. We were talking off air about the England style of rugby league. So tell us about it.
Yeah, I was speaking to Luke Dawn. Went down with the RFL the other day to Coventry to watch
the
games.
Aussie.
And he's an Aussie, but he classes himself slightly as an English. It's really strange now.
What a sellout!
Yeah, he's a bit like
sellout,
he's a little bit like you, Robert. He's been over here that long now that he actually says "we" every now and again.
Yeah, actually, I do that as well. I know I'm a Kiwi, but I do say "we."
Yeah,
he says "we." I do feel like I'm part of the spiritual and cultural fabric of the sport over here.
And I was speaking to him anyway, and we were a little bit like, "Look, I understand that when you're in the elite level international rugby, it is about not making mistakes, being clinical, putting the pressure on, making the opposition make mistakes. But when I played against the Australians, they're just really dour in yardage. They are so controlled. It is unbelievable. It's boring, really. But it's great. It's good in what they do. They're getting out of yardage. But Wayne Bennett looked like he's trying to create that. Speaking to a few of the boys, there's no shape whatsoever around the ball. It literally is. Every man should get around the ball, take five drives and kick it as hard as you can.
Yeah, but let me tell you, when I was playing against Australia, they had the likes of Gordon Tallis, you know, these Glenn Lazarus, I'm that old. These guys are just absolute monsters. You look at them now, and they've got David Clemmer, Shannon Boyd, Sam Thaiday. These guys are, that's their bench as well. That's not even their starting pack. That's their bench. It's relentless. So if I had guys the monstrous size of them, I would just keep it boring and just set that platform.
And that's my point. So do we mimic them and become a poor version of them, or do we? I don't know the answer myself, Robbie.
But how can you become a poor version of them when you got James Graham, Hill, all three Burgess boys?
Hill, Graham, all like to pass the ball, all play off shape and can actually promote the ball. And I just feel
And I got to admit, they caused New Zealand a world of problems with that in the opening 25, 30 minutes of their first test. New Zealand were being run ragged by that ball movement and the late footwork at the line. It was causing New Zealand loads of problems.
Oh, look, you cannot go against what the Australians do. They have done it now for 30 years and been the best. I'm just saying, we're just talking, is there a different sort of way of going about being? Is there an element of surprise? And actually, rather than trying to become what they're good at, just sticking to what we're good at and becoming the best we can be. So play likes of Burgess with his footwork, James Graham with his ball, actually moving the ball and shifting it a little bit in yardage and ask questions of him. I'm not saying it's going to work. I'm just saying, is it something to look at? And should we stick to what we do best?
Well, looking at it, though, the Australians, they train hour after hour after hour to play their very... It's a percentage game.
Yeah.
That's what they play. Everybody knows it. It is boring. A lot of Australians and Antipodeans, New Zealanders, they come from down the NRL and they come to the competition here and they say, the game's just more fun to play here because the game's more open. It isn't as structured. It isn't about just churning out the numbers. And it's about, you know, taking your chances when they make themselves available. If England was to go to that style of rugby, then I think the whole of the Super League competition and the tiers underneath it, the full professional game would have to go to that style of rugby where we're training, overtraining that level of skill, overtraining the small passes so they don't become risky. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's at the moment, pushing the pass under pressure is a risk. But if you train, it starts to become less of a risk because your decision-making on when you push the pass and at what point and how you control the ball in contact, getting your hands to the ball before you actually get it and just accepting, you know what, sometimes I'm going to get smashed because that's the style of play we play, you know, style of footy that we play.
It's a little bit like Leeds. Leeds, a few years ago, I looked at a stat, they'd made the most errors in Super League and they won it.
But no, they made the most errors, but they also had the highest points scored as well, didn't they?
Yeah, it was, and I know that's a freakish stat, and that doesn't always work. I'm not saying it's going to work for England. I'm just posing the question: do we stick to what we like? To Rick Stone's come over and said he actually thinks it's a more attractive game over here. He says you throw the ball around. He's actually trying to rein us in a little bit and actually be a little bit more like the Aussies. But he says, but I actually don't want to take that attacking flair away from the players. I want us still to be able to play good rugby. But yeah, I once saw a stat that said Leeds were making errors. What they were doing is, because they were promoting the ball so much, although they were making errors, you also felt like you were making 1,000 tackles because Alaouatiti'd offload it and then somebody else offload it. And it, within a set, instead of making 6 tackles, you'd make 18 and 20. As soon as somebody's about to go to the ground, they just flick the ball up. You're like, oh, he's got that ball away. Alaouatiti'd's got a ball away again.
You're on the back foot and you're tired and the energy's being sapped out of you. That, and that's when it becomes, you know, that's when they become, it becomes sexy rugby.
Yeah. And I'm not saying sexy rugby always works. I'm just wondering, should we go about it a different angle? I'm just posing the question. And do you know what, if I'm honest, I don't know.
It was quite interesting because in the New Zealand versus Australia game, New Zealand were, they tried the blunt force instrument approach where they were trying to go through the teeth of the Australian forward pack. And that is a big forward pack that the Aussies have. And New Zealand's got a big forward pack as well, but just weren't getting any purchase. And what New Zealand did in the final sort of 10, 15 minutes of their first half, they started moving the ball. So on that note, they found that there was more space on the edges and they were getting more purchase and more. There was more creative space and started asking more questions of Australia by playing that more expansive game. So potential, but the dinner that I was at with Wayne Bennett himself, he was talking about their numbers game, about playing, squashing it out and all of that. So maybe that's not his style, because it's definitely not Brisbane style playing a more expansive game.
No, it's not. Look, he plays the percentages and it's going to be, it's not going to be the most attractive rugby, but at the end of the day, international, like I said before, is about winning. If he finds a formula that wins, we'll come back here next Wednesday and I'll just say he's a genius. I don't care how he wins, as long as England wins.
I think
he
is a genius anyway. But on that note, but does Australia put fair in you? Because to be honest, Cameron Smith, their captain, legendary captain for that Australian team, he said Mal Meninga gives them confidence. But I'm not convinced. I am not convinced that they are the finished article. I think they're far from it. They had the majority of the possession against New Zealand last week and they were unable to put New Zealand away. And I think on that, I think maybe they are just too structured.
Well, do you know what? They have all spoke about how great a coach Mal Meninga is. Mm. Every single player has come out. Like you say, whether they're trying to convince themselves or whether, you know, whether they do actually believe it, I suppose time will tell.
Time will tell. And actually, we're running out of time as well. So what are your predictions for Saturday?
I think Australia. Do you know what? No, I'm English.
That's right.
Do you know what?
Go with it, son.
Yeah, we're going to win. We're going to win by 6.
I've been singing England's praises all along. I think the first two games have just been warm-ups for this game. I think Sam Burgess is going to come out. He's going to absolutely boss it. His younger brothers are going to come out and try and rip people's heads off also. It's going to be loads of fun in the capital this weekend. So watch it on BBC One. Okay, big thanks for you all listening wherever you are tonight. If you want football, Bradford City versus Morecambe, then switch over to Pulse 2 right now. And if you want to listen to the game, we'll upload the show on the website.